But without further ado, I want to get to Chris Horn for the TechSideline.com recruiting report. And, Chris, let me say, since I can't say it next week, happy birthday a week earlier. Are you hitting the big 3-0 finally?
Not yet, Mike. I appreciate it, and but we'll be 2 years shy of the 30th. So got a couple of years left in the 20s there.
Kids. I could do the math and figure out, okay, if you're 27 now, you're almost in. Anyway, you man. Kids. Hey, happy birthday, Virginia Tech 2008. We talked so much about the huge 2007 class, and we'll talk about it a little more tonight. But since we last talked, the 2008 class grew some more. They've already got two kids signed. Not signed, excuse me, you know what I mean, committed for
right.
2008. And that's just, you know, what a great head start. Bruce Taylor, who is a linebacker of some promise from Myrtle Beach, has already committed to Tech. Tell me what's going on with him.
Right, same high school as Brandon Fry, and that had a little bit to do with the decision, I believe. But Bruce is 6'3", 230 pounds, which is pretty good for a junior in high school. So certainly his size is already pretty impressive. And he plays linebacker, and he is being recruited by Virginia Tech as a linebacker. I just wanted to kind of get his decision out of the way early. He told me that he was thinking about making an early decision anyway, but then he had a small shoulder injury, I believe, and then he broke his he had a fracture in his arm, I believe, in the first game. He's actually back now, so he's back playing right now. But that kind of got him to think a little bit more that, hey, maybe I should make a decision sometime soon, just because he had seen other players who kind of waited a little bit, then ended up getting injured, and then didn't have too many options when it came down to making a decision. But and also at the same time, he felt real comfortable with choosing Virginia Tech, and that's one thing that he told me, and he certainly sounded pretty sincere about it. That's what his coach told me, and he just felt like Virginia Tech was the place for him. He had a chance to check out Tech for the spring game earlier this year. Was very impressed with what he saw. Just in talking to Brandon, he kind of had a sense of the school, and I think felt comfortable with that as well, and really liked the people, you know, not just the players and the coaches, but I think you know, the people that he met down at Virginia Tech when he went there impressed him as well. So he went ahead and made the commitment. He's one of the more highly regarded prospects in the 2008 class already, just in terms of especially the linebacker position. As a sophomore, he made 205 total tackles. And that included about 42 tackles for loss, which is both of those are pretty eye-popping numbers. And in addition, he told me he had about 10 or 11 offers already on the table, which is pretty significant for a junior, considering they can only start getting offers on September 1st in their junior year. So Virginia Tech came out on top. Florida State, North Carolina, Clemson, South Carolina were the some of the other schools involved, but he's a Hokie, and he seems pretty confident and comfortable with his decision. So I'd be pretty surprised if he actually opened things up later down the road. So he seems pretty solid.
Yeah, that's a lot of babysitting, 2 years. And I'm trying to think while you were talking, Chris. I remember a couple years ago, Ed Wang committed about this time, right before early in his junior season. And of course, he held up. That seems like so long ago because he's now in his second year at Tech, playing as a redshirt freshman. Tight end. I know D'Angelo Hall, I think, committed in his junior year, but after the season. Grant Knoll was a junior year commitment also after the season. In-season juniors, I can't think of too many others other than this young man and Ed Wang. Am I missing somebody obvious?
No, I mean, I think you got pretty much on the button there. The other one that Virginia Tech has is the other commitment is DJ Thomas, who's actually a senior, so he's actually was originally supposed to be from the 2007 class, but he's going to have to go to either Hargrave or Fork Union Military Academy to prep and then go to Virginia Tech, which I think is going to be a pretty big bonus for DJ as well as Virginia Tech. So I think, as you mentioned earlier in the program, Virginia Tech is just off to a pretty good start in 2008. Obviously a great start, actually, if you think of the quality of the players that they have commitments from.
You know, and it's one advantage to being able to spend more time with that, because recruiting is going so well for 2007,
mm-hmm.
and there's not as much work to do with the actual recruiting. The babysitting's a whole other issue. Then maybe Tech can spend some more time with that current junior group, and, you know, who knows? By the time signing day gets here in February for 2007, they could have three, four, maybe even five more kids for that class because they can focus on them.
Right.
Like you say, the legalities are there. I mean, it's after September 1st. They can extend the offer, so who knows? That's something I'm going to be real curious to watch over the coming months.
I mean, that's a great point because I mean I've heard that you know that Tech is pretty excited about the 2008 class and maybe in pretty good position for a few players, especially in state such as Vincent Painter, who's an offensive lineman at Amari High School in Norfolk. I think Virginia Tech's in good shape with him already, so I think they're pretty excited. But as you mentioned, that's a great point that. Not only you know has Virginia Tech pretty much filled up their allotment for 2007, and of course as you mentioned there is some babysitting because most of the time schools are not going to stop recruiting some of the players that even though they have committed, but you know this allows Virginia Tech to kind of get more into the evaluation process and maybe potentially figure out who exactly they want to go after in the 2008 class and evaluate those kids more. And of the players that they already know they want to go after, it allows them to maybe put a little bit more time into that as well, which anytime I think you can do that and kind of put more time into developing that relationship and recruiting, I think that really kind of gives you a leg up. So I'm sure that's what they're hoping that, you know, the 2007 success will not only be a success for 2007, but one for 2008 as well.
And then you build on that, and next thing you know, you're into the 2009 class.
That's right.
It's really something to see how this develops and whether Tech can capitalize on that. Now, Chris, you do not rank kids that early. Your first ranking comes out summer, basically rising seniors in the summer. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's correct, yep.
Does anybody rank them this soon? I know I use Rivals a lot, too, and they do some rankings in the summer, but I've never looked to see, are there actually rankings for current juniors in season?
I believe, I'm sure there's some that are out there, but I believe that the Roanoke Times comes out with something in December. So obviously that's not around this time right now. But to me, I think, you know, probably just seeing how some players do this year and the junior season obviously is a big factor in terms of how some of these prospects are evaluated, although you can certainly go off of some scholarship offers. So just a few kids who, you know, have received offers and, you know, you can judge by that, obviously, if they're going to be pretty decent prospects or not. There's Ryan Williams out of Stonewall Jackson, who's a running back. I spoke to him, I believe, last week, and he had offers from Virginia and Maryland. It may have been actually a week and a half ago, and he was expecting one from Virginia Tech. So that's another in-state player to kind of to look out for. And there's a handful of others also that seem to be getting some pretty serious attention. From the in-state schools and just in terms of receiving offers. So no, in terms of rankings, though, there aren't any until there, to my knowledge, anyway. I'm sure there are some that are out there. But as you mentioned, we wait till pre-summer to kind of put out our first set of rankings there.
Yeah, that's probably best. I'm not going to go look for any. I'll say there probably are some somewhere, but whatever on that one. You know, it's amazing, South Carolina. It's amazing how well Tech has done establishing itself in the ACC footprint since it joined the league, that being the Carolinas and Georgia, where it didn't recruit that much beforehand because it wasn't playing down there too often. And it seems like the trade-off, not recruiting Florida full-time and concentrating on that area, is really helping. Here's another one from South Carolina.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think we talked about, I believe, when Virginia Tech entered the ACC that or at least I remember that was a topic, was just in terms of Virginia Tech working their way into the Carolinas. And obviously Virginia Tech does have a Florida player, but it's nowhere – they're not putting the emphasis on Florida that they certainly used to put on that. And obviously the decommitments, I think, had a factor in that.
Oh, and, just a little bit of one.
Those issues, as you well know.
My favorite subject.
South Carolina, as you mentioned, is a place that Virginia Tech has had some success. Especially in recent years, and North Carolina. And the more that Virginia Tech can grow in terms of the eyes of the players in those states, the more it's certainly just going to help them to be able to recruit those areas because they seem to relate well to the kids that they are recruiting. And, you know, developing pipelines in those states certainly not only helps them, but it, at the same time it can also take away from some of the players that they're some of the teams that they are competing against, such as North Carolina and NC State and Clemson in South Carolina. So I think not only helps them, but it hurts the competition. So it kind of helps them twofold there.
Yeah, that's a double whammy for or positive whammy for Tech and negative whammy for the competition.
Exactly.
All right, Chris, well, we're going to take a break here for just a minute. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion on some of the 2007 Yeah. People are saying, wait a second, it's 2006. I know, but it's the 2007 recruiting class because this class will sign in February 2007. Before we get away, though, I got my man Matt has been keeping up with it. He is my best agent for my book. As some of you may know, this is the first time I've mentioned it. We're 20 minutes in, Matt. I haven't mentioned it yet. I have a book, Game of My Life, Virginia Tech, Memorable Stories of Hokie Football with Bonus Basketball Stories. Last week when I was on, my sales rank on Amazon.com was nearly 300,000. The start of the show, well, the current rank, according to my man Matt, 66,774. So somebody's bought some books since last week, and I appreciate that very much. Matt's goal is to get it as low as it'll go during the show. So if you're bored during the break or you haven't bought one yet at a local bookstore, and I do want to emphasize it's also available at all the local bookstores, and I'm a big believer in supporting the bookstores, but sometimes it's easier to shop at your computer, and Amazon has it for $8 off. So we want to see that number change while I'm on the air. They make great gifts. You know, if you order 10 or 12, I'll probably get up to number one on the bestseller list, and, hey, I'll sign them for you. Just give me a call. Anything to sell books, a little shameless self-promotion. So that's my own ad right there. We're going to take a break. We're going to carry on My Wayward Son with Chris Horn when I come back, and Matt Josephs and I will see you in a few minutes on the new ESPN Radio 950. All right, Mike Harris of the Times-Dispatch back with you here on the new ESPN Radio 950 along with Matt Josephs. We'll be here till just shy of 10 o'clock talking all things Virginia Tech. We are in the middle of the TechSideline.com recruiting report. We'll get back to my friend Chris Horn in just a minute. I do need to tell you fine listeners that all that stuff about me having a face for radio, and the reason I like radio is I can wear my hat backwards and, you know, wear my holy T-shirt, nobody sees it. Well, not anymore. Wes Levan, who was one of our video guys down at the Times-Dispatch, is over there setting up a camera, for some reason focusing it on me. I'm hoping he'll show actually more of Matt on the air, although Matt would have to absolutely lose that ugly hat before he gets on the air. I mean, come on, man. You got to at least wear a decent hat. Anyway, clips of tonight's show will be available on timesdispatch.com. You can nod your head, Wes, or do I say tomorrow? When are these things going up? Definitely tomorrow, sometime before the Tech game. Well, of course, you know, Virginia plays tomorrow night, but you're talking about before the Tech game Saturday. So check timesdispatch.com, and you will see video clips of my ugly self doing this show. Lucky you. Lots of great stuff on timesdispatch.com, and you can check this just for yuck. Seriously, no, it'll be a cool thing. Also, remember my book, Game of My Life. Virginia Tech, remember, I was quit writing this down. I went 20 minutes without mentioning it, okay, just because I've done it twice in the last five. Anyway, go to Amazon.com. Matt's goal is to see my sales rank rise into the top 100 before the show's over. I told him if he's able to pull that off, I'd buy him dinner, so, but not tonight. Anyway, let's get back to Chris Horn and talk real stuff. Recruiting, TechSideline.com, recruiting report with the soon-to-be 28-year-old Chris Horn, who won't be with us next week. Hey, Chris. We've pretty much been around the state with the 2007 class, and we've talked about some of the other guys. But Darren Evans, we talked about him a little bit, the running back from Indianapolis. Isn't he having some, like, monster start to this season? And somebody told me some numbers the other day, and they sounded almost fictional.
Yeah, monster is a good word. He is having a remarkable senior remarkable senior season so far. Of course, he had some pretty outstanding seasons the past 2 years. He rushed for over 2,000 yards each of the past 2 years. So, but heading into this year, so far through five games, I believe Darren has 85 carries for 944 yards and 22 touchdowns. And great, it's a great offense, especially for running. But Darren does predominantly the most of the running there, and or a lot of it anyway, out of that wing T. Yeah, but it's a power running game, and Darren certainly he breaks some big plays, as you can kind of figure out with that that yards per carry average. He breaks a tremendous amount of big plays. I know one game he had a 65 yarder, a 55 yarder, and a 51 yarder run in one game, and I believe that was the win over Ben Davis High School, which is their kind of rival high school, and is also one of the higher ranked teams. I believe it was the number two ranked team, right behind Warren Central High School. So, but yeah, he's having a phenomenal year. He's 6'1", about 210 pounds. He plays kind of a well, obviously there's three tailbacks or three running backs, but it It's kind of like the fullback slash running back in that offense. But so he's a big kid who can handle it. But he can also run. He runs around a 4.55 in the 40, I believe, and that's kind of about the time that he ran for Virginia Tech at the senior camp earlier this summer, which I'm sure helped generate an offer for him from Virginia Tech. But those, as you mentioned, those numbers just kind of indicate that the kid knows how to run the ball and knows how to get the job done and can. And obviously it has the speed to break the big plays because that's no accident getting that amount of big plays. So just a phenomenal tailback recruit for Virginia Tech, and I'm sure they're thrilled to have him.
Curious what you hear about his qualification status. Is he in good shape, or is that unknown at this point?
Actually, I heard he's a pretty solid student, and his coach, Steve Tussey, I was talking to him about that actually last time I talked to him, and he mentioned that I was asking if there was a possibility that he was going to graduate early and then get to Virginia Tech in the springtime, but that doesn't appear like that's going to happen. But still, he's a solid student. I believe Coach Tussey told me that he has straight A's so far this year. So one thing that really stands out about Darren, actually the thing that stands out the most in his coach's eyes is how hard a worker he is. He said he's a hard worker, not just in the weight room and preparing for football games, but he's a hard worker in the classroom, which any team certainly looks forward to having.
You know, speaking of early, I got to look this up by the time you get back. We talked about Tyrod with that earlier, and I still haven't checked to see whether you can do that in Virginia. I promise I'm going to do that soon. Hey, speaking of TimesDispatch.com, as West gets his film rolling, one thing I want to brag about in our paper tomorrow that I'm pretty excited about, you know, as acting sports editor, you got to brag about your section a little bit. Mm-hmm. Tech recruit Alonzo Tweedy, the kid from Hermitage. I didn't know this. Tim Perrell, one of our high school reporters, who will also be covering VCU in the winter, did a story, and I did not know this. Apparently he was recruited or offered straight off videotape. Tech saw videotape and was impressed enough, and I know that's not terribly uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a story about that, and then if you go to our website, you can actually see the videotape that he sent to Tech. And, okay, so you can look, what did Tech see that was so impressive? You know, click and go. So make sure you pick up our paper tomorrow to read about Alonzo Tweedy, a Hermitage kid who's going to Tech, and then click and see the video that Tech saw. It's a pretty nice combination between website and newspaper that I'm pretty proud we're able to pull off. But let's move around the country a little bit more. We talked about Florida in our first segment, Chris. We know Tech doesn't recruit there regularly, but they'll do some occasional. And they went down and they've got a kid, Hunter Ovens, it looks like. Like I've got Ovens in my kitchen, O-V-E-N-S. Another big kid, 6'2", 220, good size for a linebacker with good speed, 4'5", out of Sarasota, Florida. Do you know what the connection was? What were the special circumstances that led to them getting this kid?
Honestly, I'm not too sure about that. I know, as you mentioned, there typically are nowadays with Virginia Tech and the recruits that they go after in Florida, there is usually a connection, to either the player or the program or something like that. But obviously, there was some interest. Virginia Tech really liked what they saw in terms of evaluating him and kind of went after him obviously pretty hard, and have his commitment. But he's a heck of a player. He's 6'2", 220 pounds, around a 4.5 in the 40. As you mentioned, out of Cardinal Mooney High School in Florida, and he's just a heck of an overall athlete. And the thing with him is that he's not only a good football player, but he's a terrific baseball player. So he's a terrific baseball prospect. So there is a chance that if he gets drafted in the Major League Baseball draft within the first, I believe, first two rounds or so, that he will choose baseball. But obviously, we'll see what happens. With that. But he's a pretty highly rated prospect, and that kind of just a testament to his overall athleticism. Kind of maybe the type of guy that's really good at all the sports that he plays. And I know he plays both ways for his high school. He plays linebacker and fullback, and he actually runs the ball fairly well. He's done pretty well so far this year. And just in terms of his defensive ability, he seems like a typical, you know, Tech linebacker, fast and can move all over the field. But I'm sure at this point the staff is kind of just hoping that he doesn't choose baseball and he ends up at Virginia Tech, because if he does, I think Virginia Tech's really got a terrific prospect who will play linebacker for him.
Well, he's one of three linebackers in this class, and you know, we talked about Quilly Odom of Manassas last week. The other one, and let's get you to comment on him, and then we'll end this segment for tonight. But the Barquell, is it Barquell Rivers, of Wadesboro, North Carolina. A little bit shorter, 6'0", 215, a little bit slower at 4'6". Mm-hmm. But another three-star recruit, it looks like they're thinking ahead on that linebacking core and building it up there.
Yeah, exactly. Barkwell is a prospect out of North Carolina, again, another ACC state. Had a chance to see him actually at the one of the Shrine Bowl combines earlier this year. And he looks like he's about 6 foot two. He was about 205 or 210 pounds, I believe, then. But he's a kid that he's not in terms of a speed burner. He's not a speed burner at the linebacker position. But he's a good overall, all around kind of athlete. And he just makes a lot of plays. And I was talking about Hunter Ovens being the type of player that is just good at whatever sport he plays in, and that's kind of Barkwell to a T right there. In fact, that's what his coach told me when I first talked to him about Barkwell, was that he's not only a terrific football player, but he's a great baseball player and a great basketball player for Anson County High School as well. So as you mentioned, Virginia Tech kind of loading up or filling up pretty well that linebacking core and landing three very, very solid prospects. I think you have Ovens and then Rivers and then I think Odom, but they're all three very good, very good, and talented prospects who, with good overall athleticism and things like that. And I know Barkwell had he had double-digit offers, so he had some good offers to choose from, including a lot of ACC schools such as Clemson and North Carolina and things like that. So, as you mentioned, Virginia Tech doing a good job with the linebacking core and kind of looking towards that future.
All right. Well, Chris, we appreciate your insight again, as always. I always enjoy chatting with you about recruiting because, as I've said before, you blanket the state like nobody else, and you don't just talk to people. You get out and see them and produce the video for your site, and your updates are always good. So when it comes to state recruiting, you the man, and we appreciate you sharing your time with us. And
thanks, Mike.
Do you have Happy Birthday queued up there, Matt, or do we have to sing? We definitely don't want to sing. Hey, just imagine us singing, okay? That's all you really want to do. Have a great birthday next week.
Okay,
yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah, have a great birthday next week. We'll
thanks,
see you
Mike.
In 2 weeks, and we'll just pretend Chris Coleman's you.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Chris Horn with the TechSideline.com recruiting report. Always insightful, and I mean what I say about him. He gets out there and hustles, and that's why he knows as much as he knows. But we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to visit with Trent Rosecrans of the Cincinnati Post, get a load of the Cincinnati Bearcats. But for now, we're going to take a break. Matt Josephs and Mike Harris with you on the new ESPN Radio 950. We'll